Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamites. We're on the last, second to last Daf in the Masechta, getting very close to finishing this beautiful Masechta of Beitza and getting ready to start Rosh Hashanah. So we begin about 10 lines down from the new Mishnah on Lamites and Aleph. The new Mishnah begins, Hagacheles. A gacheles is the actual charcoal that is actual substantive. So the charcoal has the status of dealing with Tchum Shabbos here, Tchum Yontif, so you can only take this gacheles, like all of your property, only within your Tchum. Kiragli HaBa'olim, whoever owns this gacheles, so this gacheles is allowed to be brought only within the Tchum of the person who owns the gacheles. However, the Shalheves, the actual flame itself, which is not substantive, it doesn't have any mamashes to it, so then, here there is no did of Tchum Shabbos, or Tchum Yontif, the Shalheves b'chol makom. You can go carry the Shalheves any place that you want. Rashi explains, could go and hidlik ner b'shalheves chadero. So for example, on Yontif, you're allowed to go and light a candle from another candle. So you have a candle in your house, and your neighbor goes and lights his candle from your candle, so your neighbor and you have a different tchum, so he's allowed to bring that candle to his tchum wherever he goes. It's not restricted by your tchum. You don't have to take the flame, the candle, into an area where your tchums overlap. He can bring it all the way to the farthest parts of his tchum, even though that's well outside your tchum. So that's the first bit in the Mishnah. Second in the Mishnah, there's another din with Gacheles. It doesn't deal with Tchum, but it deals with Shalheves and Gacheles. So the second din is Gacheles Shal Hektish. If Hektish owns this charcoal, so then Mo'alim Ba. So then if a person usurps something by accident from Hektish, there is a din of Me'ila. Me'ila is when by accident you take something that belongs to Hektish, and as Rashi points out, Hanana Mimena Mevi Oshem. There's an Asham Me'ila that a person brings, in addition to paying back the principal plus a fifth, so you bring a carbon. So this person who took the charcoal that belonged to Hektish, this gacheles of Hektish, committed an act of me'ila. However, if he lit his flame from the flame of Hektish, then he's not over a din d'oraisa of me'ila. Shalheves lo nenin, you're not allowed to do this, midirabbanan, the rabbis instituted a din d'rabbanan here, not to go and take it. So, as Rashi points out, l'chatrila midirabbanan, you're not allowed to go and be nana from anything of Hektish, because it could lead you to taking the gacheles, if you were allowed to take the shalheves. So therefore, we don't even use the shalheves, midchatrila, but that's a din d'rabbanan. But if after the fact, you did get hanah, you did use the shalheves from Hektish, so then, lo ma'alim, there is no issa d'oraisa, and there's no, as Rashi says, ein chayav in korban me'ila, the less beima mosher. There's no substance to it. There's not really anything that you really usurp from Hektish. It's not a real taking from Hektish. That's the second din that the Mishnah has. Third din that the Mishnah has is hamotzi gacheles l'shusharan chayav. If a person would take on Shabbos, obviously that's what he meant on Yontif, most times on Yontif you're allowed to carry, as well as it's Litzorach Yontif Ksas. So here, we're dealing with Shabbos. If a person will go take this Gacheles and move it from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, so then this would be an Issa D'Raisa, and a person will be Chayav HaKor Mechatas. He's over in Issa D'Raisa. However, if he did the same thing with the Shalheves, he would be Potter. If he carried out the flame from the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, so then he would be Potter. That's not considered something substantive. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, how do you carry the flame itself? If you're carrying it, let's say, on a match, so then why aren't you chayav carrying the match? If you're carrying it on a candlestick, so then why the candle on a candlestick, so why are you not chayav for that? So Gemara will have to address that, and ultimately the Gemara will give us the answer, kigon da'adaye aduye lusha sarabin. It's, for example, somebody sitting right on the edge of the Rishus HaYochid, and he blows the flame, and it lands in the Rishus HaRabim, so to say, sparks or blowing from the flame go into Rishus HaRabim. So that's aduye adaye. And therefore, in that situation, you would be potter. That isn't substantive, so even though you did bring something, the flame, from the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, that's not considered substantive, and that wouldn't be an issa d'oraisa. The Gemara will explain this as we go through it, as Rashi tells us Mefarish B'Gemara. Now let's start off. The Gemara brings a braisa, which interestingly mentions five dinim in terms of a gacheles and a shalheves. Now, our Mishnah only mentioned three, and the Tolus Yaakov asked the obvious question, since our Mishnah is talking about not just Tchum, it's talking about other dinim of a gacheles and a shalheves, why did our Mishnah only list three, whereas the braisa that we're about to learn, this Tana Rabbanan, lists five? So the Tolus Yaakov says, the reason why the Mishnah only lists three is to accentuate the difference between the Tchumim case, where the rabbis did not make any additional Chumrah midrabbanan, versus the two other cases where the rabbis did institute a Chumrah midrabbanan. For example, in the case of the Tchumim, there is no issa whatsoever to go and take the Shalheves b'chol makom. However, in terms of the Gacheles Shal Hektish, they were saying that, okay, you shouldn't do it l'chatrila, but it's not over Me'ilah. So it's also Midrabanan to take the Shalheves, lo nenim, lo malin. And likewise, when you're motzi the Gacheles, Lushus Rabin, it's Chayev, Shalheves is Potter, it's Potter Aval Osir. In other words, you shouldn't go and do that. So again, the Mishnah is listing two things that were stricter Midrabanan, but not in regards to Tchum, where the rabbis weren't strict at all. So if you'd listed all five that the Braisa has, you wouldn't notice this distinction. Because the other two cases that the Braisa mentions are also Mutl L'chatrila, there's not an Issa D'Rabbanan. Very interesting reason. The other point that the Toldos Yaakov makes is he notes that the Braisa specifically mentions Chamisha Dvarim, as opposed to our Mishnah, which doesn't mention Shlosha Dvarim. And he says that's because even when they learned the Mishnah, they mentioned all five. So there are five things, that's well known. The reason, again, why the Mishnah only mentioned three, we just explained. But there were five things. He also points out that the Yerushalmi has an additional difference, that you're allowed to make the bracha on the Shalheves, but you're not allowed to make a bracha on just the hot coals, the charcoals, that aren't actually burning. You can't make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner, Shal Shabbos, or Shal Yomtiv. And that's why it mentions there are five things over here where the Gacheles is more substantive than the Shalheves, but there is a situation where the Shalheves is the stricter one, and that is the Mevarchin ala Shalheves, but you're not allowed to make the bracha on the Gacheles, which isn't an actual flame itself. In any event, now let's begin the Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa says, there are Chamisha Dvarim, five things, Nemru B'Gacheles, that was stated about a Gacheles that's different than the Halacha by Shalheves. Number one, and three of them, well, obviously, we already learned in the Mishnah, so we'll go through them quickly. HaGacheles K'Ragalei HaBa'alin, V'Shalheves B'Chol Mokom. In regards to Tum of Shabbos or Yontif, the Gacheles is like the feet of the Baalim, whoever owns it, that's the Tum. Whereas the Shalheves, if you transfer on Yontif, again, most of this is Yontif, not for Shabbos, with the flame, it's Muktzah, but on Yontif, it's of course allowable. So when you're lighting your candle from your friend's candle, and then you have a different Tum than them, you can bring your candle to the edges of your Tum, not in any way restricted by your friend's Tum. That was number one, we had in the Mishnah. Second one, we also had in the Mishnah, Gacheles Shal Hekdish Moalim Bo, Shalheves Lo Nenin, Lo Moalim. The Gacheles of Hekdish, you're not allowed to get any Hanor from it. If you do, you're over Me'ilah by accident. If you took this, you're Chayv Asha Me'ilah, as well as paying back the Karen and the Chomesh. But by Shalheves, you shouldn't do this Lachachila, because you may come to then go and take the actual charcoal itself. But if you did, by accident, use the Shalheves, so you don't have a Chiv of bringing in Asha Me'ilah. Next one is now a different one than we didn't have in the Mishnah. Gacheles shel avodah zarah, asura. If you take a charcoal that was used for an avodah zarah, so then it's asur b'hanah. You're not going to get any benefit from it. But if you lit a flame from that, v'shalheves would be muteris. You're allowed to go and do this. And this is even l'chatchila, as we pointed out. There is no even rabbinical prohibition that you can't do this l'chatchila. And we'll discuss further in a moment why is Gacheles stricter than Hekdish. One would have said, by Hekdish, we don't let you do it Midrabanan, so by Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't be able to use the Shalheves Midrabanan as well. More, we'll ask that question in a moment. The fourth case is Hamotzi Gacheles Rishus Rabim Chayev, the Shalheves Potter. That was the third case that we had in the Mishnah. So this one we've already said, that there is no Isser of carrying by the flame. If you blew it by the edge of the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus Rabim, you wouldn't be Chayev, albeit it's Potter of Alasser, shouldn't do that. Whereas by the Gacheles, that would actually be an Issur D'Oraisa of carrying from the Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabin. And finally, the fifth, which is a new item that the Braisa brings down, is Hamudur Hanoa Mechaver. If a person says, I'm asuring you to give me any Hanoa, we'll talk about it in the other way as well. If a person says, I asur you to get Hanoa for me, so then in this situation, also B'Gachalto, you are not allowed to go benefit from your friend's Gacheles, because that's a substantive thing. And you said, I asur myself to get Hanoa from you. However, Umudu B'Shal Havto, but if you wanted to light a flame from his flame, then you would be allowed to do that. And again, this is even mutul l'chatchila. That's why it wasn't mentioned, like the Toldos Yaakov said in our Mishnah. Okay, so these are the five things that the Braisa tells us. And now we'll analyze the question that I alluded to in the Avodah Zarah. Why is Avodah Zarah treated more stringently than Hekdish? So that's what the Gemara asks. Maishno Shalheves Avodah Zarah d'shaya. Why, by the Avodah Zarah, is it permissible l'chatchila to go and take the flame from the Avodah Zarah, even though the Gacheles is also b'hanah? Nevertheless, the flame you can go take. We didn't make any additional rabbinical prohibition. The Sharia, that's permitted. Umaishto the Hekdish, the Asira. But by Hekdish, we made an additional prohibition, Midr Rabbanan, that you shouldn't go do this. L'chatchila, you shouldn't go and do this. There's an Issur Rabbanan to go do this. So why do we treat Avodah Zarah less strictly than we do Hekdish? So the Gemara gives a very practical answer. Avodah Zarah dimi'isa, ubedile in shemine. Avodah Zarah is disgusting, and people naturally don't want to have anything to do with the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the rabbi said, lo gazru bar rabbanan, there's no reason to make a gzera that if you come to go and use the Shalheves, you may come to use the charcoal. because nobody's going to use the charcoal. It's so disgusting. This is made by Avodah Zarah. What am I going to use their charcoal to cook my sub with? It's Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the rabbis didn't have to make Gzeira. There's technically no substance to the Shalheves, and therefore, technically, it's Mutter. And the rabbis didn't have to institute it, didn't the Rabbanan, not to take the Shalheves, because you may come to take the Gachalas. Because, but deliminate. People are already far away from using such Avodah Zarah. However, hektish, the low boys, hektish is certainly not disgusting. Hektish is something that we're very close to. We want to be close to. There's a technical reason. You're not allowed to be nana from hektish. So a person could easily forget. And if you allow him to take the flame, he may take the charcoal too. But low bedili in shemine, people don't stay away from it. In fact, they try to be close to it. Therefore, the rabbis felt here, gazru be'rabban, the rabbis felt it wasn't necessary to go make gzeira that shall have a slow nana below ma'alin. Oh, very good. Beautiful answer. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Hamotziyah gechalas l'rishos harabim chayiv l'shalheves poter." The Mishnah said, the Brisa said the same thing, that on Shabbos, if you were to carry the gechalas l'rishos hayochid l'rishos harabim, you'd be chayiv in issur daraisa, chayiv achatas, but the shalheves is poter of l'osa. You're not allowed to do it, but it's not an issur daraisa. Ayin Gemara says, "Well, Tanya, we learned in a Brisa, hamotzi shalheves kol shu chayiv. If you in fact do carry out the shalheves, you are chayiv in issur daraisa, you're chayiv achatas. So why in our Mishnah do we say it's an issur d'rabbanan, part of a lawser, whereas in the Brisa it says it's an issur d'raisa. What's the difference between the two cases? So I'm Rosheshes says, Kigon shotzio bekisim. He says that the Brisa, which says that you're chayiv for carrying out the flame, is because you carried out the splinter. You carried out the match with it. And therefore, that's why you're chayiv by the Brisa for the Shalhevis, where in the Mishnah you just had the flame, like we said, that you were blowing the flame from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabin. And that's why it's part of a lawser only an issur d'rabbanan. That's Rosheshes' teretz. Where it says, but if you're carrying out a match or a splinter with the flame, so why aren't you chayiv for that? Why are you saying that you're chayiv because of the shalheves? You're chayiv because you carry out the match. That's the reason why you're chayiv. You're carrying out this splinter, this little twig of wood. So that's why you're chayiv. So Gemara says, this is smaller than the shear. So the kisim itself, if you just carry the kisim without the flame, it would not be considered a significant shear that you'd be chayiv a carbon. Well, even chatzi shear is also minatory. You're not allowed to carry anything. Nevertheless, the Mishnayis and Shabbos, the Gemara and Shabbos, discuss the various shiurim of something that is, quote, significant, the significant amount that if you carry that on Shabbos, you're chayiv a korban. So if you just carried out this little splinter, this little twig, this little match, it wouldn't have had the shear to be chayiv on its own. And if it's only chayiv because of the shalheves, the flame that's on top of it. So, but the less leishiura, because we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos that the shear for a piece of wood is ditnan, hamotzi eitzim, if you carry out a little piece of wood, it's only chayiv achatas, kidei levashel beitzakala. If you carried enough that you could go cook with it, a beitzakala. Beitzakala is referred to as a tarnagol's egg, Rashi explains. Sheib kala levashel, it's very easy to go and make a hard-boiled egg. Mikala beitzim, from all the different eggs that exist, the chicken's egg is the one that cooks the easiest. Veshiro chachamim zu beitzatarnagolus. And this is the egg of a tarnagol. So chicken's egg, the amount of wood that you need to go and make a hard-boiled egg. So that is the shear of wood. So this kisim that you carried out was less than that shear. Therefore, for the kisim itself, you wouldn't be chayiv achatas. It's only because it has the shalheves that you're chayiv achatas. That's teretz number one. Rav Sheshes' teretz. Abaye gives a different teretz. He says kigon the shayfei mona. You rubbed on a utensil. Shayfe means to rub, and mona means utensil. Mishka, oil. So you put oil on some sort of an earthenware utensil, so the earthenware utensil won't burn itself, but the oil that's on it will burn. The islei benurit. Then you lit it with a flame. So in this situation, that's why you're chayiv on a deraisa level for carrying out the flame. That's what the Brice is telling us. And in our Mishnah, it just was blowing the flame from the Shus HaYochin to Shus HaRabin. So Gemara asks the same question that we just asked by Rav Sheshes a moment ago. Why aren't you chayiv for carrying out this earthenware utensil? That's why you should be chayiv. What does it do with the flame? You carry the utensil. So Gemara says, we're dealing over here with the shard of pottery, not the full utensil. So therefore, the shard of pottery is not a utensil in Yachayiv for carrying it. Gemara says, but a shard of pottery you also chayiv for. A shard of pottery is considered significant. So when you carry out a shard of pottery, it can be used to do various things on Shabbos. You can use it as a coaster, you can use it as a bottle cap, etc. So you should be chayiv for the chaspa. Why are you telling me because of the flame? Why is the Brisa telling me that you're chayiv because of the flame? You're chayiv because of the chaspa. So Gemara gives the same teretz that he did before, but the less lay shiura. You didn't have enough of a shard of pottery here to make the shear that if you just carry this alone without the flame on it, you would not have been chayiv. Why? Again, we learned the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Tanan, Cheres, the amount of pottery that you have to take out, Kedei Litein, Bein Patsim L'Chaveiro. Patsim are like the frame of a door. And if you have a frame of a door, sometimes they need to use multiple pieces of wood to go and make the frame of the door. And if they're using, let's say, on the bottom frame of the door, of the doorway, really. So you're going to have two pieces of wood. They may not be exactly the same size. So one is going to be a little bit bigger than the other one. If you're going to then have an unevenness to the bottom of the door, people could trip, wouldn't be able to fit the door properly. So you put these pieces of cheres, these shards of pottery, underneath the wood, so the wood is at the same level, the two pieces of wood are at the same level. So that's the shear, that it's a big enough size of pottery, cheres, kidei litein bein patsim l'chaveru, that you could use it to support the wood and have it level. That's what Yehuda said in the Mishnah in Shabbos. And therefore, when our Brisa said you're chayiv only because of the flame, it's because you didn't have enough of a shear of the pottery, the shard of the pottery, the chaspa, was not enough to make litein bein patsim l'chaveiro. So on that account alone, you would not have been chayiv achatos. It's only because it has a flame that you're chayiv achatos. Finally, we now get to the question that I've been alluding to all Shia today so far. El hadit nan, why in our Mishnah, Hamotzi shall have his potter, hechem ish kachashla. So how do you ever have a case that a person's blowing a flame, carrying a flame from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim without having something substantive to it, that you'd be chayiv because of the substantive item? Why would you not be chayiv on a deraisa level because of the substantive item? So the Gemara says, kegon, as I already told you, da adaye aduye lushus harabim. The person standing at the end of the Rishus HaYochid, and he blows the flame, and the flame goes into the Rishus HaRabim. So theoretically, if you take something Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, you'd be chayiv din deraisa, but since it's not mamashus, there's no real substance over here, you're only chayiv on a derabbanan level. The rabbi says, don't do this, because it could lead you to doing other things, therefore you're only chayiv potter, avol also, you shouldn't do this, mi derabbanan. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Bar shel yochid, kiraglei yochid. If you have a pit of water, again, they relying very heavily on water that came down from the rain, and this bore would fill up during the rainy season, and then over time they would use up the water. So if you have the bore and it belongs to a private individual, so the water in that bore has the same tchum as the private individual. Kiraglei yochid. However, if it's shel anshei osa yir, if the bore is a public bore, the city got together and they dug these pits to store water in, these cisterns, so it belongs to the entire city. Shel anshei osa yir, Kiragle Anshe Osair. So then anybody coming to take water from here is restricted by the tum of the city. Now, even if an individual made his own tum, he can't go bring it beyond the tum of the city, because we don't know who is going to go take this water out. And therefore, it has the tum, Kiragle Anshe Osair. As Rashi says, Alpayim L'chol Ruach Chutz Li'ibure. Once you get beyond the boundaries of the city, the Ibure is like a pregnant extension of the city, which is 70 and two-thirds amma, so then you have 2,000 ammas in all directions, north, south, east, and west. That's how far the water can be taken, and even if an individual has his own tum that's different than the tum of the city, he's not allowed to go carry it beyond the tum of the city. Our Gemara will discuss this more, and this whole general discussion is also found in the Gemara in Eridin, on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, as you can see in the Masoras HaShas. Then the Mishnah tells us, Vishal Ole Bavel, when the people came up from Golus Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so they created these, again, cisterns of water that people would have an easy time getting water going up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So these boros, these pits from the Ole Bavel, so they had Kiragle Hamamale. Since this was open to potential usage for anybody, and not just people from a specific city, so this was, we'll discuss exactly how this works, but this, whoever goes and brings up this water, so this water now has his personal tchum. And if somebody else picks it up who has a different tchum, so the water that the other person picks up will have that person's personal tchum. It doesn't have a set tchum like of the city, which we just said it has the tchum of the city, or you might have thought that it has the tchum of this pit, and you can only take it 2,000 amos around this pit. That's not true. It has kiragle hamamale. Now, all of this will be discussed more in the Gemara, and let's begin right now. Rami le Rav of Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman the following stira from a brisa to our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Tanan, Bar Shal Yochid, Kiragle Yochid. A person's private bar, so the water in that bar, since he owns it at the time of Shvisa, at the time the Bein HaShemash was going into the Yontif or to the Shabbos, so it's only allowed to go to the tchum of that person. However, Reminhu, the following brisa says, if you have Nahoros, rivers, Hamoshim, that are flowing rivers, or you have Mayanos, which are wells that have active water coming up into them, albeit, Rashi points out, they're Novim, these wells are bringing up water from the bottom of the well, from the spring underneath the well, but it doesn't travel like a river in a horizontal direction. It's only going, so to say, in a vertical direction. In any event, these Nahoros Hamoshchen, Umayonos Hanovim, these are flowing waters. Harehein Kiragle Kol Adam. They have the halachic status of the Tchum. Whoever goes and picks it up, Ragle Kol Adam, it has their Tchum. So even though this is owned by an individual, nevertheless, the person who's mamali from this cistern or well or spring is in fact going to have the tchum of himself and not the owner. Rashi explains, because these waters are moving, they're flowing, ein lohem shum shvisa, they never were at rest during the Banish Moshe's time, lo bimkoman v'lo kiragle balam, not in their own place, so they don't say that they're limited by where they were shoveis, so to say, and that you can only go 2,000 amas around this spring or this river, and likewise, the balam don't own it because it didn't have shvisa. And likewise, lo kiragle mamale, and it's not like necessarily the person who actually fills it up. Ela kol adam molichim biraglov. Rashi says it's not only the mamale. I was wrong a moment ago. I said it's like the person who's mamale. It's whoever wishes to can carry this water wherever you want. Even the person who mamale it can give it to somebody else, and that other person can carry it to their tchum. Molichim biraglov, the chomidi deny it less le shvisa, because it never has a shvisa. And therefore, even when the person fills it up, he doesn't acquire it at that point in time that it should have his shvisa. And this is what Rashi says, Halchi b'Farshinu v'Erivin, in Perek Misho Tziyu, that it has the tchum of whoever has the water right now can carry it to wherever they want. So this seems to be a stira to our Mishnah. So the Girsa that we have is Omar Rabba, but on the side it says it should be Rabba. Rabba responded to Rabba asking Rav Nachman, and he said, Omar Rabba, you know what we're dealing over here is b'mechunasin. We're dealing here where it's not flowing water. We're dealing over here where it's stagnant water. It's water gathered in, mechunas, into one place. So our Mishnah is dealing with mayim mechunasin, so it's not flowing, so therefore it does acquire the shvisa of the owner of the bar. However, in this brisa where it's talking about flowing water, so then when you're dealing with flowing water, so then it doesn't acquire shvisa, as we just pointed out from Rashi. And I'll show you this is right. The Gemara says Vietnanami, because it was said beferish. Omer Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Omer Shmuel, Chia bar Avin said name Shmuel, that our Mishnah is dealing with b'mechunasin. Our Mishnah was dealing with stayed water, static water, not moving water. And in that situation, it does acquire the shvisa, and therefore whoever owns it, that person gets the. The water gets his tum, and even if he gives it to somebody else, it doesn't follow the other person's tum. Mark continues by quoting the Mishnah where it says, "Shaloli Bavel," the people that came up from Golos Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so they set up these water holes along the way to facilitate people going up. So the water in those water holes are kiragle hamamale. Whoever goes and fills it up, they are entitled to keep that water within their personal tchum, even though somebody else filling it up a minute afterwards will keep it within their personal tchum. There's no stira, there's no problem in each of them having their own tchum from that water. Why is that? So the Gemara says, Itmar, set over in the base medrash, Mile v'nosen l'chaveru. If somebody went and filled up the water from the Ole Bavel's well, and they went and gave that water to a friend, so whose tchum does that water now have? So again, let's put it into real circumstances. Reuven goes and fills up water from the Ole Bavel wells, and he gives it to Shimon. So does it have Reuven's tchum, or does it have Shimon's tchum? Again, assuming they have different tchumim. So Rav Nachman Amar, Kiraglimi Shinisumalulo. It goes after Shimon. The water was filled up by Reuven for Shimon. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, you go like the person who's ultimately the water being given to. Whereas Rav Sheshes Amar, Kiragli Mamali, no, the person who filled it up, Reuven, boom, it acquired his tchum, and now you can't change it and make it to be Shimon's tchum. What is their machlokis? B'maikol Miflagi, what are they disagreeing about, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? So, Mar Sovar, Rav Sheshes holds Bira de Hefkerihu. He holds that the water is Hefker. And therefore, if the water is Hefker, it doesn't have anyone's tchum. And therefore, when Reuven goes and fills it up, he acquires this water, and it has his tchum. Now, if he gives it to Shimon, it's too late. Even though he's filled it up for Shimon, you can't be a shliach for somebody from Hefker. This goes according, as Rashi points out, this goes according to the opinion that if something is Hefker, it is not kona its own shvisa. We did bring down from yesterday's shir, at the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that chetzei Hefker konin shvisa. That in fact, something that is Hefker, so at the start of the Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though it's owned by, quote, no one, it's Hefker, it has acquired that space where it is the focal point, and you only have 2,000 amos from around that. But as we pointed out, that's the Das Yochel of Rav Yochel Menuri, and today's Gemara, it's working with the assumption that a hefker doesn't konesh shvisa, and therefore only the first person who picks it up, according to Rav Sheshes, and now he's the one who acquires it from the hefker, and now it will have his shvisa. As Rashi brings down, full lines on the bottom, over here in Dibra Maskel Rav Sheshes, so he writes, Vama Magbia Mitzia Lechaveiro, if you pick up something from hefker with the intention of giving it to your friend, acquiring it for your friend, Lokana, it doesn't work that way. Lokana Chaveiro. As the Gemara in Bava Metzia says in Shnayim Ochazin, that be tofes lebal chov b'mokum shechov liachem. While you're doing your friend a favor by picking it up on his behalf, you're hurting everybody else in Klai Yisrael, and you don't have the right to be chov liachem in this situation. Ella, instead, hamagbia kona. Therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, we hold like that, and the person who picks it up automatically acquires it, even though he's picking it up on behalf of Shimon. Reuven, when he picks it up, is acquiring it for himself, even though his intention was to acquire it for Shimon. That's Rav Sheshes' understanding. Rav Nachman disagrees, as Rashi continues. Rav Nachman sovar, biro deshutvehu. This is not hefker. It belongs to everybody in Klai Yisrael. Everybody is a shutv in this. I own one piece of this, one percentage point of this, and everybody else in Klai Yisrael owes the same percentage point of it, and therefore, it's not from hefker. Deshutvehu, it's biro deshutvehu. Lo hefkiru b'nei agola. When the b'nei gola set this up, the b'nei bavel set this up, the only bavel set this up, they did not set it up that it was hefker. They set it up that everybody is a percentage owner of this. Nesenua l'cho Yisrael, Rashi says. That's Rav Nachman's understanding. Shu shutvim bo. Now, with shutvim, I can go acquire it for somebody else. I can be your shaliach to pick up your piece for you. And therefore, kisha omar zeh l'chaveiro, when Reuven goes and fills up this bucket of water for Shimon, he's allowed to do so. Bishlichuso nase, and therefore, ain't magbia mitzia. It's not like he's picking up mitzia from hefker, and that's the understanding. Mar sovar bira defkeru. Rav Sheshes holds that this is hefker, and therefore you can't acquire it. Reuven can't acquire it for Shimon; can only acquire it for himself, and therefore it goes like the mamale. And Rav Nachman holds mar sovar bira de shutvihu. He says that this is a shutvus, and therefore, when Reuven picks it up on behalf of Shimon, he's in fact a shaliach on behalf of Shimon for what Shimon owns. He owns that piece of it, and therefore it is allowed. And it goes by the Ragle Mishnismalulo for the person that it was filled up for. Now, Esu Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav questions Rav Nachman, and he says, Hareini olech hacherim. If a person says that I'm a cherim to you, in other words, he says that you cannot get any hanoa from me. Hamudar osur. So that person cannot get any hanoa from the person who says that Hareini olech hacherim. So again, let's put it to practical terms. Reuven says to Shimon, Hareini olech hacherim. You are forbidden to get any benefit from me. So then Shimon is not allowed to get any benefit from him. Hamudar Shimon is osur. We turn to Lamed Tes Omid Beis. Similarly, vice versa. Harei ato alai cherim, if he says, you are cherim to me. If Reuven says to Shimon, I can't get any hanoah from you. You are like a cherim to me. Hanoah derosu. So then, Reuven's not allowed to get any benefit from Shimon. That's very straightforward. No questions. What happens if he says, Hareini alecha v'ato alai? If Reuven says to Shimon, you can't get benefit from me, and I can't get benefit from you. So shneim asurim zeh b'zeh. So then, again, straightforward and simple, neither one can benefit from the other one because there is this neder that has taken effect. However, and here's the question that Rav is asking on Rav Nachman, based upon your opinion that the wells of the Olei Bavel are a shutvis, why does this Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in the Dharma that we've been reading here, why does it say, Umutarim Bishal Olei Bavel? Why does this Mishnah say that even though they're forbidden to get Hanah from each other, when he says, Hareini Alecha B'Yato Alai, Shneim Asurim Zeh B'Zeh, nevertheless, this Mishnah says they are permitted to take the water from the wells of the Olei Bavel. Now, if in fact you have not been right, those wells are a shutvis, and therefore how can I get benefit from this well? Because part of it is owned by you. So it should be usur to go take from the wells of the Olei Bavel. That's the question that Rav is asking Rav Nachman. But let's finish off the Mishnah. And it says, Vasur Mishal also here, if they live in the same city, they're not allowed to go and get any benefit from the city because the city is a shutvis as well. So clearly you see the city, which is a shutvis, the Mishnah says they can't get benefit from anything that's held in shutvis in the city because they'd be benefiting from the other person who has a share in it. But the Olei Bavel wells clearly are not a shutvis because they're allowed to get hanah from that. And the Mishnah continues and says, "Ve'elu hen advarim shel Olei Bavel." What are the examples of the things that are the Olei Bavel, b'shel Olei Bavel? So it says, "Beferish harabayis v'halishkos v'hazaros Ubar shel emza derech. It specifically states that the things that belong to all of Klai Yisrael and Shutvus is the Harabayis, the Lishkos, the various chambers of the Harabayis, the Azoros, the various courtyards of the Harabayis, and these boros that the Ole Bavel Dagin created. And yet the Braisa says that you are permitted to get an offering this, so it must not be a Shutvus, as opposed to the wells of the city. And what are examples of Elul Hein Shel Oso Ir? This would be Harachov. This is the area that they used to have outside of the shuls. It was a big public square where, when the shul couldn't hold all the people, for example, like the special taniyos that they set up for lack of water, so they would daven in the rechov and the basic knesses in the town shul, the basic mechats in the town bathhouses. So these were all a shutvis. So therefore, in this situation, you cannot get benefit from the shutvis. But the Ole Bavel clearly is not, the wells are not a shutvis. So this is the kasha that Rava says to Rav Nachman. The Amr is a Bira the Shutvihu. If you're telling me that these wells that the Ole Bavel dug are a Shutvis, so am I mutter, then why is it permissible? Because the Otnan, we learned in another Mishnah, Hashutvin Shinodru Ano Zemizeh, Asum Likonis L'Chotzer. If two people have a Shutvis together, and then they are Oser Hano, one to the other, so Reuven and Shimon own a courtyard together, and then, for whatever the reason, they make an Isra Noah one onto the other, so then they can't go into their courtyard, because every time Reuven goes into the courtyard, he's benefiting from something that Shimon owns. It. He says he's also to do so. And every time Shimon goes into the courtyard, he'd be benefiting from something that Reuven owned, and he said it's also to do that. So therefore, that's the question that Rava asks on Rav Nachman. No, how does Rav Nachman respond? So Rav Nachman says, Lir Chotz Babor. Now the Bach says delete the second time. He says Lir Chotz is not necessary. It's an extra word. So Lir Chotz Babor Hochanami. You're 100% right. If you're talking about going and bathing in this well, so then you wouldn't be allowed to go and do so. This well, when you're bathing, you're going in there, so you can't say, I'm using my water and not your water. So in that situation, absolutely be prohibited to get benefit, because when I go in there, I'm not just using my water, I'm using your water as well. And since it's an Issa of Hanoah, so you're not allowed to do this. However, when you're drawing the water, when we're dealing over here, that we say, Rav Nachman says that you are allowed to, that's because of the principle of Brera. Because we're dealing here with Lemalos, Mar Mididei Komimale, Umar Mididei Komimale. Because each one is going and drawing up the water that retroactively was theirs at the start of Yontif or Shabbos. And therefore, because of the principle of Brera, I'm not really benefiting from you at all. I'm allowed to benefit my own property. I was only moved to Hanor from your property. And when I'm drawing up the water, I can separate, this water was mine retroactively. I didn't touch your water. As opposed to bathing, you can't say I'm only bathing in my water and not your water. So Rav Nachman is correct in saying that this is a shutvis. And therefore, if it's a shutvis, when Reuven goes and fills it up on behalf of Shimon, nothing to do with the case of Mudr Hanoah, Reuven's being a nice guy, he's filling up water on behalf of Shimon, so then it acquires the tchum of Shimon and not the tchum of Reuven, because he's not picking it up from something that is hefker, he's picking it up from something that is b'shutvis, and he's acting as the shaliach of Shimon, as we explained before. Gemara questions this. V'savar Rav Nachman Yesh Breira, this answer that we just gave is assuming that Rav Nachman holds from the principle of Breira. The Gemara questions this. We learned in a Mishnah in Shkolim, here we just have to give a little background, when two brothers inherit the estate of their father, so when the estate is not yet been divided up, so then the estate is considered still like an individual, single person owning it. And when it comes to Maiser Behema, when a person has to take off Maiser Behema from his animals, so if an animal is born to a single person, if he has 10 animals, so the 10th one, he goes through the corral, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10th one, he paints with red paint, and that becomes Maisa Behema. Now, you only do this if it's a single owner. If it's a Shutvis, there is no din of Maisa Behema. So when two brothers inherit an estate, so then, if this estate has not been divided up, it's still considered as if the father halachically owns the estate as a single person, and therefore there would be a din of Maisa Behema. But likewise, there's another din that when it comes to a father going and paying the Maxis HaShekel on behalf of his sons, if it's one estate, if it's the father who's paying for that, then he doesn't have to pay the double kalbon that you normally have to give, an additional kalbon, like it is the exchange fee for the Maxis HaShekel. So if he gives a shekel on behalf of two sons, he doesn't have to put in two kalbons in this situation. In other words, there is no exchange fee, a transactional fee, that the father would have to pay for his two sons. So if he gives a shekel on behalf of the two sons, each box is a shekel, he is not required to add on the additional cowbone exchange fees for each box is a shekel. So with this background, we can now understand the question of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, we just said, holds from the principle of Brera, explaining why the Ole Bavo, that not, if they were Mudr Hana on each other, it's not, even though it's a Shutvis, because retroactively we say this is my water and I'm not using your water unless I was bathing in it. So Reb Nachman clearly held the principle of Breira, but now we can ask, is that really true because of this Mishnah that we mentioned from Shkol? But none. Ha'achim ha-shutvin. If you have two brothers who are shutvin in their father's estate. And so Rashi says, achim shehem shutvin. These are brothers who are shutvin, birusha savim, in the estate of their father. So therefore, in this situation, kishachayavim bekabot, if they have divided up the estate, and each really owns half of the estate, so then, even though the estate is paying the shekel to the Beis HaMikdash for the boxes of shekel, they would be chayiv in a kalbon. But in that situation, since they're shutvin, so peturim b'maisa behema. Again, the two are opposite dinim. If you're chayiv in kalbon, you're going to be potter in maisa behema, because if you're shutvin, so then shutvin are chayiv in kalbon, but they're potter for maisa behema, and vice versa. Ukishayavim b'maisa behema, if they aren't considered shutvin, the estate is still intact, it hasn't yet been divided up, so then they would be chayiv in maisa behema, because it's one person. But they would be peturim in a kalba. They would be exempt because it's one person paying for his two sons, so to say. In that situation, there is no chiv of a kalba. That's the Mishnah. And on this Mishnah, the Amar Rav Anan explained this Mishnah the following way. Lo shanu, this Mishnah only said the two opposite rules. If you're chayiv in kalbon, you're not chayiv in maisa behema. If you're chayiv in maisa behema, you're not chayiv in kalbon. Ela shecholku gidiyim kineged tloyim, v'tloyim kineged diyim. That's only in the situation where there were both sheep and there were goats. In this situation, so each one inherited, theoretically, 50% of the sheep and 50% of the goats, and only afterwards did they exchange them. But if they actually divided up, you get 50% of the sheep, and I'll get 50% of the goats, and they're each going to have half of them. In this situation, Rav Anan says, Omer, Zehu Chalko Hamagia Bishar Rishon Lekach. This is, again, retroactively determined that the moment of the death of the father, that Reuven, the first son, got these 50% of the sheep and these 50% of the goats. And at that moment, Shimon got his 50% of the sheep and his 50% of the goats. Because in this situation, you can retroactively apply Breira. If you're telling me that one said, listen, I'd rather have all the goats, and the other one said, I'd rather have all the sheep, so then they did an exchange. So that you can't say that it's still under the Tfusas Habayis, under the estate of the father. That's what Rav Anan says. But he applies the principle of Breira. And along comes Rav Nachman and says, no, we don't apply the principle of Breira. Rav Nachman Amar, afilu cholku gidim kinegi gidim, uchloim kinegi tloim. Even if you were to say, okay, Reuven, I'm taking 50% of the sheep, 50% of the goats. And Shimon says, okay, I'll take 50% of the sheep, 50% of the goats. So retroactively, Rav Anan says, that was the original division. Rav Nachman disagrees. Ein omer, zechalko magia mishol rishon lekach. We don't apply Breira. And therefore, it's still like there was a chalukah. They first divided up the estate, and now they re-put it back together. In this situation, clearly, Rav Nachman does not hold from Breira. So how can you tell me Rav Nachman holds from Breira? Shmuel says, you're right. Yataki, you're right. Elo, dekuli amma, Breira dev kerihi. In fact, the original reason that we wanted to suggest that Rav Sheshes holds that it's hefker, and Rav Nachman holds that it's a shutvis, is incorrect. In fact, both Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes hold that the bor is considered hefker. It's not a shutvis. So then why do they argue? Elohocha b'magbia mitzia l'chaveru kamivli. They're arguing about, can you pick up something for hefker, such as the water in this bor, and acquire it on behalf of your friend, or you can only acquire it on behalf of yourself. So Rav Sheshes holds, mar sovar kana. Rav Sheshes' opinion is, when you pick it up from hefker, you instantly acquired it. And therefore, even though you're subsequently giving it to your friend, when Reuven picks it up, he acquires it. It automatically gets his tum. And even though he subsequently, a minute later, gives it to Shimon, it's too late. It already has Reuven's tum, the first person, the mamale's tum, and not the person who he was picking it up for, Shimon. Whereas Rav Nachman disagrees. Umar Savalokana, he said, when Reuven picked it up, he never acquired it. He had no intention to acquire it. He's picking it up for Shimon. And therefore, when Shimon gets it, that's when it's now acquired by someone. Reuven never acquired it. He picked it up, but without intention to acquire it. And therefore, he picked it up for Shimon. When Shimon gets it, it now is acquired by Shimon. And as a result, it goes by Shimon's tum, the person who was filled up for. Rashi explains this further, that when Reuven went to fill this up, he specifically did not have in mind to be konit. The lab adaiti lemikne. It's only Shimon who acquires it when he makes the Meshicha, when he takes the bucket of water from Reuven. That's when it's first acquired. When it comes into his possession. Because he has das to be konet. Because Reuven did not have das to be konet. And therefore, lo kona, Reuven didn't acquire it, whereas Shimon did acquire it. And therefore, this machlokas has nothing to do with it being a bor of shutvas. In fact, it's a bor beira the hefkerahi. But we can still understand the machlokas, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, as to why Rav Nachman holds that the first person did not acquire it. It's only the second person, when he actually gets it, is acquiring it. Whereas Rav Sheshes says, no, the first person acquired it when he picked it up. Let's just start the next Mishnah, and we'll just read the Mishnah. Maybe we'll chazur again tomorrow, because we're getting close, Baruch Hashem, to the end of the Masechta. So, the Mishnah begins. Mishayu peiroso v'ir acheres. Somebody has fruit in another city. Now, it's outside his tchum. However, it could be within the tchum of somebody else, and that's exactly the case. So, mishayu peiroso v'ir acheres. Reuven has fruit that belong, he lives in city A, and city A's tchum doesn't reach the city B unless you made a special Erev tchumim to allow you to reach it. But somebody else lives in city B, the Erevu b'nei osoir l'hovi eslobi peiroso. And somebody in city B made an Erev Tuchumim that would allow him to bring Reuven's fruit to him on Yontif. So, lo yavil lo. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to take advantage of this because they were your produce, Reuven's produce, and they were outside Reuven's Tuchumim, and therefore they're not allowed to be moved. They can't be moved, dalet amos. And even though Shimon from that other city is halachically allowed to come to Reuven, he could bring him, Shimon could bring Reuven Shimon's fruits, but he's not allowed to bring Reuven Reuven's fruits. Unless the im erivu, but if Reuven had made an erev tuchum to reach the other city, then peiros of kamo. So then his fruits have his tuchum, and if his tuchum allowed him to reach to the second city, so now he could go get his fruits, or somebody else who made the same erev could go bring him his fruits to his first city. I hope that was clear. Mitzvah Shem will chazer it again tomorrow if it wasn't. Then the Mishnah concludes, and he says, Misha Zimin Etzel Orchem. If you invite guests to your house for Yontif, right? Baruch Hashem, Minna Klai Yisrael, we invite people to our houses all the time. Achnosas Orchem is a tremendous mitzvah, so if you invite somebody to your house on Yontif, so there's leftovers, so you give him a doggy bag. So the only problem is, Lo Yulichu B'yod Monos, Elam Kein Zikol Lehem Monosem, Mir of Yontif. They would not be allowed to go and bring it back to an area that the owner, the host, can't reach with his tchum, unless the owner was specifically mezakeh to them before the Bein HaShemashos. So let's say these cookies, he has extra cookies and he wants to give his guest cookies to take home. So the guest has a different tchum. They overlap, so the guest could come to his house. Reuven is the host and Shimon is his guest. Shimon has a different tchum, so Shimon could not be allowed to bring the cookies all the way back to his house if he has a different tchum, unless Reuven acquired those cookies on behalf of Shimon before Yom Tov started. Tomorrow we'll discuss this in more detail, but this is a great break point, and we'll chazer this mishnah again in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow for the last daf of this beautiful Masechta. Mirtz Hashem, we'll do daf Nem tomorrow. That concludes today's share.